Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Prayer, study, Sabbath rests and more. Over the last few weeks, we have been exploring how to make time for spirituality amongst our very, very busy lives. Tonight, we are looking at the benefits of solitude and silence. And Robin Wrigley-Carr is back with us again as our spiritual guide. Welcome again.
Come on down.
You don't like that, do you?
No, I don't at all.
You're telling me to come on down. Really, it could be you. I'd put you up so high.
Oh, just forget it.
The fact is, again, these are things that take time to actually do. It's wonderful for us to talk about them.
Absolutely.
We've actually got to get in there and actually do them. And I do encourage you, if you've missed the last few weeks, go to theopenhouse.net.au, download the podcast, and take another listen again, because this is not something to just tickle our ears. This is something to actually get into and do. So tonight, solitude and silence. Tell me about the discipline of solitude.
The discipline of solitude is simply when we purposely choose to be alone and abstain from interacting with people. And there are many examples in Scripture where Jesus withdrew physically into solitude. He spent 40 days in the wilderness after his first day of public ministry in Capernaum, where he's healing sick and the demon-possessed and preaching the gospel. Day two begins very early in the morning while it was still dark. Jesus got up, left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So there are instances all through in the life of Christ where you can see that he had this balance between people time, his active outward ministry, and time alone, really attending to the inward and spending time with his Father. So if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us,
yes.
I think.
Because you couldn't say that he wasn't a people person. He was around people all the time.
Oh, absolutely. But
I think
he realized he needed that balance.
Mm. What do you think of the benefits then of actually drawing away like that? It doesn't have to be early in the morning, I hope.
Dallas Willard writes that it is solitude and solitude alone that opens the possibility of a radical relationship with God. So I think one of the key benefits is an enriched relationship with God, because we're spending time alone. We're putting space where we can listen to God. It's really planned attentiveness to God. I think also being alone helps us confront our own soul. When we're interacting with others all the time, it can escape our attention.
We can be distracted, can't we?
Yeah,
we can
absolutely
distract ourselves from the things that maybe we need to look at.
Yeah, well, I think it can also help us to reorient our life goals, see the big picture of what's really important. Sometimes we can get just caught up in the rat race of materialism and social status and all these things that do not matter at all.
Mm.
Having some time in solitude alone with God can get us back on track. I think also, you know, there's just a recreating effect of being by ourselves, so that you've got more to give when you are actually back in the thrust of giving to people.
Yes, this isn't about being loners. This is about drawing away for a season so we can draw back to people and have more to give.
Yeah, it's not about withdrawing forever. It's a balancing act, really.
We cannot talk about solitude without exploring some of the difficulties around it.
Yeah.
Right at the beginning of this series, we were talking about just the difficulty of somebody who's a mum, a dad, actually, you know, having time for solitude when there's actually little ones that are clamoring for our attention. There are difficulties in this.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned after we'd talked about Sabbath rest that someone phoned in who was a carer of a disabled person. You know, whether you're a full-time carer of the elderly or disabled, or you've got young kids, single parents, whatever, it's really hard to actually escape, if you like.
Mm.
And I think that's where we need to draw on the larger community and say, you know, I need some time out. So whether it be a church community or family or friends or whatever, whether it's a payback system so they can have some time out or whatever. But I think another practical difficulty can be that some friends and family might be a little bit threatened or pained by the fact that you want a bit of time out. You know, why don't you want to be with me all the time? You know, mummy, why are you having an hour by yourself? So I think maybe a way to overcome some of these difficulties is, you know, as I said, draw on the larger community to help with childcare or whatever. I know you don't like this option, but rising early.
Actually, I'm more of an early morning person than anything else.
Yeah.
But the fact is that, it sounds like Jesus really was getting up very early.
It was still dark.
Exactly.
Scheduling retreats is another way. Perhaps taking advantage of some of the little solitudes in our day. So, you know, sitting in traffic, rather than that being, this is a pain, that's some time we can actually be reflective or praying or whatever.
I love a good drive. I really do, by myself. I can really get a lot of things falling into place.
Yeah,
just a prayerful drive.
Walking alone,
mm-hmm.
You know, you might need something at the shops or whatever. Is it close enough that you could just walk there to get one small item? And that being an intentional time of solitude, a lot of people find it easier to be alone and quiet and still before God, you know, stilling their mind in a rhythmic walking activity. Mm-hmm. Some people like to develop some sort of quiet place designed for solitude, a special chair that they go to or an outdoors place. A lot of people find creation really good. Another thing I've heard people doing in terms of, you know, family members being pained that you've taken off for a while with God is they might have a candle that they light at the evening meal or the lunch meal or whatever, which is sort of a reminder that, you know, mummy or daddy are absent. They're off having some time with God or whatever, but they're still an integral part of our family. So they still belong, if you like. You know, it might be when someone goes off on a retreat, well, this candle's to remind us about daddy or mummy or whatever. So you still know that they're part of the family, but they're missed.
The idea of a chair is a good idea. I know that Richard Foster's raised that one before. I remember when we were in Perth, we had a three-bedroom place that we were renting, and we actually had a separate room. And that was a place where either Marin or I could go. We don't have children, so it's a lot easier. But that was kind of the solitude room.
Sure.
Here is where you can go to have some solitude. All right, so the second discipline, which is kind of related to this, is the discipline of silence, obviously congruent with it. Tell me again, why the discipline of silence?
Silence and solitude, as you said, do go hand in hand. It's hard to be silent in the presence of others. And silence is vital to make solitude real. I think that a lot of the time our lives get really cluttered by too much noise, too much distraction, especially in this day and age. You know, there's Walkman and there's MP3 players and there's blaring music from cars, and you know, in urbanisation, everyone's living closer. The discipline of silence is about closing ourselves off from sounds. It's not just about talking with others. It can be music, words, TV, phone. You know, turning the mobile phone off.
Blasphemy.
Scary, isn't it? I think noise can comfort us in a curious way, and complete silence can actually be quite shocking because it leaves the impression that nothing's actually happening. But Dallas Willard reminds us again that hearing is the last sense to go at death. So I think sound strikes deeply and disturbingly into our souls, and it's important just to have some time where it is actually just quiet, and we escape all the noise and all the distractions, and we can just be still and quiet before God.
And like you were saying, it's not necessarily just a quiet place. It could even be you being silent, no talking.
Yeah, exactly. So the silence of not speaking can have quite an impact on us, where we refrain from speaking for a while so that we actually get better at listening and noticing. And for those of us who are real talkers, it helps us consider our words more fully and control our tongue and help us to become someone who actually says something when we've got something to say rather than just filling in space, and helps us listen and observe and pay attention to people. You know, there's so much we can read of people when we're not just raving on about our particular issue. You know, read their body language. Do they need an encouraging word or whatever? But I think, you know, there's a lot of difficult practicalities here. I mean, we do live with others. How do we actually find silent times?
You might have that special chair in the room, but it might not be quiet.
Exactly. You might be hearing play school or whatever. I have heard that some people actually put on their alarm clock and rise for a time of silence in the middle of the night, which doesn't sound my idea of a good time. Other people rise early.
Get it.
But yeah, I mean, we have to be kind of fairly creative about how to make this happen. I mean, one thing that I mentioned back in the week when we talked about Sabbath keeping was Eugene Peterson's example of doing Sabbath with his wife, where he went with his wife on this walk for a few hours, and they would just be in silence together, which is hard to do. You know, when you're with someone, you feel like you want to talk to them. But, you know, they just did this as a spiritual discipline so that they could spend some time with the truth of the psalm they'd been listening to permeating into them and notice the beauty of creation. And then they would say at lunchtime, as we crack out the sandwiches, let's just talk like crazy and celebrate. You know, talk about what God was speaking to us and what we noticed. And so, I mean, it is something that you can do in community.
Yes. So there's a time of silence, and then it's followed by a time of then interacting.
Yeah, exactly.
Anybody, though, who has tried to do this will know that it's not as simple as just stopping, going into a quiet place or whatever, and then being silent. There's all the other stuff, the busyness, the noise, the buzzing that's happening in our own mind, heart, soul. How can we actually still our hearts to be silent inside?
It's hard. This whole idea is actually described by a spiritual director called Thomas Green as coming to attentive quiet. Other people call it recollection or centering down. And it's this whole thing of we've come from this crazy chaotic, noisy world, and how do we then become still and quiet in God's presence? And I think there's a few ways we can do it. It probably depends on our temperament, how we still the soul. Some people might find very quiet classical music or a quiet walk in creation a way of just stilling the soul. Other people might need more intentional approaches, and a few ideas that I've read about. One of them is by Thomas Green, and it's called A Centering Exercise in Creation. And what he basically does is he goes out for a walk in the bush or the forest or whatever, where he can see a panoramic view. He lets his eyes gaze over the scene, and gradually he lets one part of the view take his attention. And then it's like he's got a zoom lens. It's like he then zooms in on one tree and then on one branch, and then he might zoom in on one leaf. So it's just its centering activity. And he writes, "My scattered thoughts come to focus. Oftentimes the result is that my attention is absorbed by some small flower or leaf at my feet that I hadn't noticed before, and I'm at peace." And he says once he's in that sort of state of attentive quiet, he can then be still before God.
It's actually a great truth, isn't it? That sometimes if you want to take your mind off something, you actually need to focus on something else. You can't just stop.
Yeah, so it's really just, you know, an intentional zooming in. Another way some people do it is with breathing exercises, and people always get a bit nervous because they think about yoga and some of this Eastern mysticism stuff. We're not talking about anything weird like that. We're just talking about sitting comfortably and breathing normally and just focusing in on breathing in and breathing out for a few minutes, just as a way to quiet the restless heart so you can still the soul. And a third approach, which I've tried but haven't found useful, but someone else might, is called a prayer of one word. And this was practiced by the Desert Fathers who lived in the 3rd century in Egypt. And they would just pray one word quietly. And the main concentration would be on the name of Jesus. So they might just be saying quietly, "Jesus." Sometimes it's a shortening version of the Jesus prayer, which is used by Orthodox Christians, which is, "Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner." And they link it with their breathing, so they might inhale on Lord Jesus and exhale on "Have mercy on me." Or, you know, some people find that is just a quietening, stilling activity. You know, the minute that we stop doing all the activities, all the jobs fill your head.
Oh, yeah.
So some people find it good to have a pad, just write them all down so that you're not thinking, "Gee, I must not forget that."
Yeah. It's funny, a lot of the things that we're talking about I actually do at night to try and help me sleep because I've got so many things on the go. I've had so many ideas in my mind, and normally in the quietness when I put my head down on the pillow, it's normally it's when they start flooding back.
Sure.
And so I've got a real procedure that I have to go through at night.
Yeah.
And part of that is actually scribbling down everything that's on my mind. Maren and I call it brain dumping. We just dump our brains onto pieces of paper
to simply
get it out there. Yeah.
Sure.
Well, fascinating. Solitude and silence. And next week we'll combine that with all the other things we've explored over the last few weeks and talk about confession and spiritual friendship. Sounds fascinating. Talk to you then.
Good one. Thanks.
Robin Wrigley-Carr there, our guide in the spiritual disciplines. Theopenhouse.net.au has the podcast.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.